Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. In the sports world, fans get their insight from their favorite radio show, Calvin and Campbell.
I listen to public radio.
There's Elijah Campbell, an easygoing sports trivia king.
That's a clean burning hell, I tell you what.
And Calvin Smith, the analytics mastermind.
Who ate all the pecan sandies?
This is their show.
I'm ready!
Calvin and Campbell
on ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
You heard it here. Calvin and Campbell here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Wholesale Inc. Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. We are talking bad sports. I mean bad sports.
B-A-D.
Bad.
Not the bad in a good way either, for you kids who are hip with the lingo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't boo us.
Spinning.
Yeah. But we're talking bad. Bad, not bad to the bone, not ZZ Top. I believe that's a ZZ Top song, right? Captain Kirk might be correct on that. Is that a ZZ Top hit?
No.
Dang it.
Oh, wait. I'm Googling it. Because
should be George Thorogood and the Destroyers.
Oh, well.
Yes, it is right. George Thorogood and the Destroyers.
Well, I'm a millennial, so what's the difference? I don't know.
It's all just music for old people.
It's all old people music. Sorry, Captain Kirk. But
no offense taken.
But we are talking about the bad. We have displayed our own bad here in the last 30 seconds. And that's what we're discussing right now. And we're going to take a little break from our field of eight of the worst sports teams in the state of Tennessee. And we're going to talk about our own worst sporting moments. I got a golden one, but Calvin, I think I know which way you're going to lead, yeah. So I'm going to let you lead it off.
Right. We want to be humble here. We want to have humility. This is one of the worst moments of my life. I played pretty competitive travel baseball on a really good team who's located here in Nashville. Knights Baseball, Kyle Wright, the Sheffield brothers, tons of kids who played at Vandy, all that stuff. Really good organization. I was super proud to be playing in this really good organization on their top team. Right? Like, I was a nice little 15-year-old baseball player. So we get to go to this big tournament down called Perfect Game. Over 300 teams converge on Atlanta, Georgia for the chance to play in front of pro scouts, college scouts. We're swinging wood bats. There are kids throwing 90 and they're 15. And my team, we're doing pretty good. We're holding our own. From probably like 330 teams, we get down to the field of 64, right? We're trying to prove we're one of the best teams in Tennessee, one of the best teams in the country. We're playing to get a college scholarship. We're playing to play in the SEC.
Field of 64, you punched your way into the big dance.
We did punch our way into the big dance. I think we were the 2 seed in our bracket of coming out of our division, I think we were like the 2 seed or something like that. There were 8 teams per division. I think we had like an East Cobb team or something in our division, or an Evo Shield Canes or whatever. If you play travel baseball, you know those teams are really, really good. You also know the Knights are good. So anyways, we play this first game, and we're playing it, and it's a kind of low-scoring, grinded-out game. The other team, I think they had this lefty pitching who had this sick pickoff move, but he'd held us to like 3 or 4 runs. They'd scored, I think, 4 runs or something like that. So we're going into the 5th inning, down 1. Only 7 inning games, but there's also a time limit. We're coming up on the time limit because in travel baseball, you got to move, right? Because
especially when you're a tournament with that many people.
And there are a limited number of fields. I mean, you're driving an hour and a half to go find a field, but you have to move quick. So there's a time limit. We're coming up on the time limit because it's been a pretty low-scoring game. The pace was kind of slow. It was like 4-3. I had some wheels in my younger days. I'd like to think I still do. I could run. I didn't start that game because we had a pretty stacked team. I didn't start every game. I wasn't that good. So they brought me into pinch run when one of our pitchers gets on base. I think he gets walked or something. 2 outs. Bottom 5. We have a runner on third who was our 2-hole hitter. I come in for the 3-hole hitter who was also pitching that game. He gets walked, which brings up our cleanup batter to the plate. Tying run on third. 2 outs. Me on first base. Remember, this guy's a lefty. If you know anything about baseball, you know lefties can come up to their balance point and then do a pickoff move over to first base. This guy had a wicked pickoff move. You probably already see where I'm going. Ooh. We'd seen him pick off somebody earlier in the game. My run doesn't really matter because our biggest objective is to tie the game. Because if we tie, we're in the playoffs, the field of 64 at this point. It doesn't matter if there's a time limit because someone has to win this game to advance to the next round. So numero uno, cleanup hitter at the plate, Calvin, don't get picked off.
Don't
give your cleanup
up,
hitter,
man,
who's 2-for-3 that day, the chance to drive in the runner on third. So my coach tells me, Calvin, don't get too big of a lead. Yeah, no problem. Well, another detail here. It's a turf field, so you can't wear cleats on it at this time. We didn't have nice expensive turfs or anything, so I was just kind of out there in cheap turfs or tennis shoes. Ooh. I get a small lead. I mean, I'm maybe a foot off the bag, honest to God. Pitcher comes to his balance point, does whatever move he had that tricked me. I literally take one small step as my secondary lead. Boom, picks me off.
Oh, game over. You got Colton Wonged.
Colton Wonged.
Wow.
We lose the game. I hear one of my teammates in the dugout yell, "What are you doing?"
I can hear that now. Somebody's like, "What are you doing?" He said, "Don't get a lead."
My coach on first base just lights up. I mean, he is furious. What did I tell you?
Oh,
I mean, I'm out there like I admittedly I slipped a little bit because I didn't have turfs on or anything like that, really good turfs on, but I still shouldn't have been getting that secondary lead. Absolutely my fault.
Man.
I deserve to get picked off for the mental error.
Wow.
So anyway, we don't score. The game ends in the next inning.
And you blew it.
We don't advance.
Oh man.
We really could have been one of the top 32 teams out there playing for college scholarships and all that. And On this high stage, under the lights at Perfect Game, pro scouts. Nope.
Man.
No bull. Calvin Smith gets picked off, and I did not play the next weekend. That's for sure.
Yeah, mine can't top that completely. The stakes were much lower in mine. This is the first time when I first started playing baseball, such a kid pitch baseball, I wanted to pitch so bad. I really wanted to pitch. I worked on it for a couple years. So at this point, I'm in like the sixth grade, right? And now I've been in the seventh grade this time. Yeah, I've been in the seventh grade. So I'm about 12 years old. And I finally, first game of the year in our league in Jamestown, I get to come in relief. We were up 8 runs and going into the last inning. I get to come in to pitch for the first time ever.
You said 8 runs?
8 runs.
8 runs, okay. And you've wanted to pitch for a long time.
Forever.
Okay.
I finally get to pitch. My coach is like, "All right, here you go. Win this thing for us." I'm like, "Okay, yeah." I go out there. I strike out the first batter. I'm feeling so good. I've been watching guys pitch. You know, I love watching Randy Johnson pitch, my favorite pitcher of all time. And it's like a swinging strike three. I felt like I just blew one by this kid. I'm feeling good, right? Other guy, measly grounder to me, throw him out at first. They are 2 outs. We are up 8 runs.
No.
I proceed to walk the next 6 batters.
Oh, my God.
Base is still loaded. Guy cranks one out in the outfield, in the gap.
Why did your coach leave you in for 6 walks?
Because all I needed was 1 out. All I needed was 1 more out.
Oh, my gosh.
And eventually, it gets to the point where we're tied. I completely blow the lead. We're tied.
And you're still pitching?
Still pitching. He left me in. He wanted me to get myself out of it. He came up and visited before this last batter. He goes, "Got yourself into this mess, but you're going to get yourself out of it. I believe in you, bud. And
this is good.
There's a runner on third. And we're the visiting team. There's a runner on third.
Oh, man.
One batter up. The guy struck out earlier. Throw a ball in the dirt, first pitch.
Oh, no.
Guy comes in. The catcher throws me the ball, and I'm going to make the tag. Ball slips out of my glove, tag the guy, no ball in glove. We lose the game. I blow an 8-run lead with 2 outs. Blow an 8-run lead, my first ever time pitching. And I cried the entire way home. Six straight walks fueled that. I could not find the plate. And, like, most of those were full counts. and I just
missed. So six walks, and then the ball falling out of your glove.
It was a comedy, a comedy of errors. You cannot draft up a worse way to end the game of your first ever time getting to pitch after practicing for years to be able to convince your coach that you're good enough to be on that mound. I get my opportunity, and I blew it.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely blew it. Thankfully, our team ended up going like 21-3 that year, so we end up winning like the next 21 of our next 23 games. I was never that horrendously bad after that. It was all a mental thing because like the last four or five batters, I'm like shaking on the mound or whatever. Like, it was all in my head. I was destined to blow that game. It was destiny that I go out there and I absolutely stink it up my first time ever pitching. And that was the most embarrassed I've ever been to be in public. Going to school the next day was torture.
I'm sure you played with your friends at school.
Absolutely. Every single one of them.
And you're in seventh grade. Boys are mean.
Boys are mean. Yeah. Oh, man. The Reggie Miller choke job thing. Oh, I got that often. That was brutal. But we end up winning the league the rest of the year. I wasn't too terrible on the mound, so I got the last laugh.
My mom texts in and says, my 1 year as a kid playing softball, I was so bad that when the other team was short a player, my team would force me to go play for them.
Ooh, yeah. She was the cast off. Poor mom. Yeah, that'll scar you.
So let's see. We have pickoffs. Honestly, six walks and the ball falling out of your mitt as a seventh grader.
Blowing eight-run leads with only two outs.
That's a good one. That's really good.
That one was atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. Very sad. But
so yours was – would you say yours was more physical or mental? Because mine was absolutely 100% mental.
I think those first six walks, I just got unlucky. And because I think maybe out of those six, maybe three or four of those were full counts, and I just like barely missed the plate. I mean,
oh, the ump was squeezing you too.
He was squeezing me too. So then after that point, it became 100% mental. And then I fed one over the plate to a kid who could absolutely smack the ball, and it hits the wall, and he clears the
bases.
And
that kid's now Mike Trout.
Yeah, that kid is now Mike Trout. but yeah, at that point, it became very, very mental. 12-year-old Elijah could not handle that.
We here on Calvin and Campbell are not immune.
Oh, no. We're
from
dishing it
silliness
to everybody else.
And sadness in sports.
Debauchery. Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get back on the other side to dishing it. We have finally taken it. Now it's time for us to dish it again. We have two more seeds to go. I am on the clock, and I'm telling you, I got a gold mine, and this one is a little bit closer to home. You'll find out who I take for our seventh seed here on the other side. Calvin and Campbell, ESPN 102.5 The Game. At Kirk on the ones and twos with the impeccable sense of irony, playing the baseball tonight theme after me and Calvin share some of our not-so-fine moments on the baseball diamond.
Not so fine, to say the least.
That's a nice way of putting
Man,
it.
Man, you told me about the end of that game. You expanded on your story from last segment, how after the game ended, you saw the ball rolling, and you just, at the plate,
boo-hooed,
hands
man.
In your arms. I feel bad.
Oh, yeah, it was, yeah, I boo-hooed all the way home. It was a very quiet ride home with my dad, I remember. But going back to, before I start crying here right now, we're going to go back to our field of eight of the worst sports teams in the last decade in the state of Tennessee. I have the number seven pick, and I'm going to go with one that's a little close to home, my loving alma mater, Middle Tennessee State. We're going to go with the basketball team this past year.
Woof, can't do your school like that, man.
I'm going to. I think they earned it this year. They definitely earned it. And there's some underachieving going on, and I understand they had some circumstances that were very unfortunate. DeAndre Dishman having a horrendous leg injury early in the summer when they made their trip to Costa Rica to play some games against professional teams, had an awful knee injury, missed the entire season, and it wasn't even going to be close to playing. I mean, he might miss part of next year if he's allowed to play. Really bad injury, and was going to be one of their better players, but the team still ended up going 8-23, 4-14 in Conference USA, which, mind you, this year, a horrendous conference. Conference USA was bad, like bad, the type that we've been talking about all day bad.
Not even a basketball conference to begin with, really.
Yeah, I mean, there was one or two years in the last decade where it's really been competitive.
And MTSU was a big part of that.
Yeah, I'd say three or four. Yeah, then when MTSU was really good, and UAB pulled off a shocker one year against Iowa State.
Yes,
and Marshall upending Wichita State.
Oh yes,
the John Elmore led team.
John Elmore. God, yeah. I cannot believe I forgot that.
That was one of the greatest performances I've ever seen in my life in person. Was John Elmore going bananas? I mean, just blacking out and hitting everything he shot in the conference title game against Western Kentucky. After that season, the Conference USA has been pretty weak. And this MTSU team won four games in that conference this past year. Only six wins against Division I opponents. And three of those four conference wins were against Southern Miss. They're 3-0 against Southern Miss.
Which is so ironic that Southern Miss is the team that knocked them out the year they got ranked. And yep, we're going to be going to the tournament likely as a high seed.
That upset them, one of the biggest upsets. The same tournament that we alluded to where John Elmore goes bananas against Western Kentucky
that
to
we,
win that
we also alluded to that we drove to Dallas, Texas for.
Exactly. It's all coming together.
It all comes together right now here on Calvin and Campbell. Clearly, Calvin and Elijah have been on the grind for a while together.
Been at this for a bit. And I'm telling
you. Seasoned bets.
That Southern Miss team this year, way worse than that one that upset MTSU in that, you know, mentioned, the aforementioned CUSA tournament. So three wins against Southern Miss, four wins in the conference total. Their other win came at UTSA, which was a team that was supposed to win the conference, was one of the favorites to win the conference because they have two of the best three-point shooters in college basketball. Those guys didn't pan out really well. Didn't have really good seasons. But then you look at other numbers on the same TSU team. Like I said, only six wins against Division I opponents because they had two wins against teams that were Division III or NAIA opponents in Mars Hill and I think it was Maryville College who they ended up beating in the first game of the season. So they started off 1-0.
You know, hadn't heard of Mars Hill, so.
Yeah, and I bet most people listening, or maybe all people listening, have never heard of Mars Hill. And even in that Mars Hill game, Mars Hill had two players score at least 30 points.
Really?
That was a thing. I was covering that game. Yep, one of the last games I've covered for MTSU Sidelines, pristine student newspaper there at Middle Tennessee State University. And here's some of the other numbers. 311th out of 353 in points against. Had a 33-point loss against Murray State on the road, which is probably their worst margin-wise on the year. And in the middle of the season had an 11-game losing streak. It's their fewest wins since 2000-2001 season, where they only won five games. That was one of the last pre-Kermit years. And they were 301st in the nation in free throws. Couldn't hit the freebies. Shot about 60% from the free throw line.
I feel like I could go out there and shoot 60% from the free throw line.
Not a good free throw shooting team. That's a very fundamental part of the game. This MTSU basketball team was atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. Had some injuries that kind of messed them up at the beginning of the year. But, you know, the year before that, it was similar. They had some things that were out of their control. They had some eligibility issues, guys who weren't allowed. Reggie Scurry, I don't think, was allowed to play for a certain amount of the – no, he played all last year. It was this year. He didn't get to play the first bit of the season. Last year they had some issues, but they worked through it and ended up salvaging a decent season, winning, you know, double-digit amount of games and winning some games against teams like UAB where Donovan Sims has great moments and hitting big shots down the stretch. They showed a lot of promise at the end of last year and then come out this year and lay an egg like that. Easily the worst MTSU basketball team of the decade. Can't think of any Austin Peay teams that were much worse.
Well, how about this?
Chattanooga teams.
Since we're crunched on segments here, we only have two left. I'll go ahead and knock out the eight seed.
All right. What you got for eight?
You mentioned Austin Peay. You go back and look at 2016 Austin Peay football. They're an eight seed. You know, they got a long shot here because, sadly, you know, it's Austin Peay. They're fighting an uphill battle. But their head coach, Will Healy, actually turns out is a great football coach. You're going to hear about this guy on Saturdays on a big-time stage.
He's already doing it at Charlotte right now.
Pretty soon. But Will Healy, his first season as the coach, 2016 Austin Peay. This team goes 0-11. And I'm just going to read off some of these scores that they lost by and then the records of the teams. Second game of the season, 41-7 to Tennessee Tech. That Tennessee Tech team finished the season 5-6.
Oh, man.
They lost 45-17 to Murray State. That Murray State team finished 4-7. Then they roll out, you know, they lose to Jacksonville State, Mercer 41-34, TSU, they lost by 1 point. They gave TSU a run for their money. They lose to Eastern Kentucky, 67-30. Eastern Kentucky that season, 3-8.
A 3-8 team dropping 67 points on them.
I feel really bad for that man. Austin Peay team, because they had been just grossly mismanaged.
Oh, yeah.
And leading up to Will Healy's tenure.
That season was the third out of the last four seasons in which they went winless.
Yes. So this is something that they kept doing.
Yeah.
It repeatedly.
Was a habit.
So then Will Healy comes in, actually turns around, and the next season, I believe, they made the FCS playoffs.
Won the OVC and made the FCS playoffs. Yeah.
Will Healy, heck of a football coach, but the 2016 team, 0-11, and were just very, very bad.
If my math is correct, they gave up an average of 47 points a game.
Yeah, basically.
Giving up 47 bleeding points. I mean, team bled points. But and it's kind of fun to poke fun at how bad that team is right now. But like you said, man, the job Will Healy did to get them to being good and having the years they've had the last couple years is nothing short of miraculous.
And that's why he got the job at Charlotte. And that's why from Charlotte, he's going to get another job. And then after he gets a job at Charlotte, he's going to get another job. Will Healy, you've probably heard of him because of the turnaround he had at Austin Peay and how miraculous that was. If you haven't, and Jeremy Pruitt doesn't work out at Tennessee.
He took
2 or 3 years. Will Healy gets a look because Will Healy was also part of some UTC teams. I went to UTC my freshman year.
He was, wasn't
UTC it? Under Russ Huseman was a dang good FCS football program.
Yeah.
Will Healy was their offensive coordinator.
Uh-huh. And that's the kind of guy that can turn
random
turn
FCS
around.
Football facts, but he came from a really good FCS program, moves his way up, boom, boom, boom. And UTC's offense was a juggernaut in the FCS.
Man, the Fighting Terrell Owenses were a juggernaut.
And go Mox!
And fun fact at Will Healy, too, he's turning things around at Charlotte. Took him to a bowl game this year, and it's the first time they've gotten to a bowl game, I don't know how long, maybe even ever. I mean, I need to look that up.
Yeah.
He is doing some awesome things at Charlotte, and they do these wild locker room parties after wins. Yeah. I don't know if you see those on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Those things are gnarly. I would love to play for Will Healy just to be able to participate in one of those wild post-locker room parties they have. They turn out the lights. They got the disco lights on, and they're bumping loud music. Will Healy's crowd surfing with his players. They have some fun. This guy's a guy I wouldn't mind playing for.
Friend of station Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Tennessee Titans reporter. That's a long title, but that's what he does. He actually, when the Titans traveled to Charlotte to play the Panthers this past season, before we knew the Titans were going to end up being good, when they when they lost to the Panthers.
Brutally.
But anyway, that's a throwback I'm thinking about. But he went to go see this Charlotte team play because he knew Travis Haney, who used to cover the Titans, and he was with Charlotte. So Teron got to be in the locker rooms for one of these, and he came back and said what they have there is special and that Will Healy has a really good culture.
Man, that as a coach, that is one of the greatest ringing endorsements you could possibly have about your program and about your coaching style. And when we come back on the other side of this break, we'll give our predictions, or we'll fill out our personal brackets on who is the worst. It is time to officially debate who is the worst team in the state of Tennessee in the past decade. We do that next here on Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That's right. We are back, and the field of eight is set. Who is the worst of the worst? The most forgettable, the worst sports team in the state of Tennessee over the past decade. We have our eight-team field, and it is time for us to give what we think. We're going to fill out our own personal brackets here on Calvin and Campbell.
Long time in the making. Hours went into this. Much deliberation. Thousands of simulations ran through my analytics.
And we're going
all to comes it. Down to this segment.
This is it. Number one, the first matchup, the number one overall seed, the 2014 Titans, the 2-14 in 2014 Titans, led by the quarterback trio of Jake Locker, Charlie Whitehurst, and Zach Mettenberger, will go up against the winless 2016 Austin Peay Govnas on the football field as well. 0-11, give up 47 points a game. We just got done talking with them. The recency bias of talking about how bad this team is has crept into my mind because I think this is really close. I am actually leaning towards Austin Peay. So I think I think my vote goes for the upset. I think I'm going to take Austin Peay. And of course, Kat and Kurt will be our moderator. So if we can't agree on one, Kat and Kurt will have the vote.
Really? You're going to go against the terrible, the worst Titans team we've ever seen?
I think so. The team that I picked first overall.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, reading that off, though, I mean, Austin Peay, you know what?
Bad.
Let's mess around and have an 8-1 upset.
Oh, okay. Wow. History has been made. Number one overall goes down.
UMBC can do it. Austin Peay can do it.
Wow. Titans are off the hook.
41-7 against the Tennessee Tech team who finished the year 5-6. I mean, 67-30 to an Eastern Kentucky team who finished the year 3-8. I feel really bad for those kids in that Austin Peay program because it probably isn't their fault.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, do you take that being worse than blowing a 28-3 lead against the Cleveland Browns at home?
28-3, such an infamous score.
We
did outline that last show. If you missed any part of the bracket making and you want a good laugh about some bad sports teams, some bad moments in sports throughout the last decade, go find that. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast, Calvin and Campbell's last episode.
And we definitely went through how bad that Titans team was. We outlined that 28-3 blown lead, the safest lead in sports. And it was against the Browns. So I'm still going to lead Austin Peay football just because it takes talent to be that bad.
And honestly, if we're considering a little bit of the past history there, they hadn't won a game in like three seasons.
Yeah. So this was just the cherry on top.
So that takes us to the second matchup, the 4 versus the 5 seed. Butch Jones's 2017 Vols and the 2017-18 Memphis Grizzlies.
This one's close, too. These are all close.
I cannot believe we let Butch Jones' team slip to the 4 seed.
Yeah.
I think him slipping to the 4 seed makes this a no contest. I'm going with Butch's team for sure.
It's toss-up to me because Tyreek Evans, after his rookie season, should never be a leading scorer on any basketball team in the NBA. J.B. Bickerstaff, the angel of tanking death, coached this team a good chunk of the season, and this team was dysfunctional enough to fire a coach who was only going 7-12, a guy who took them to the playoffs the year before. They were a 7 seed in the Western Conference playoffs the year before and got beat by a Spurs team that was definitely overpowering them. I mean, they would not compete with that Spurs team. Obviously would not. Could not.
But think about those Butch teams. All the recruits, all the hype, the brick by brick, the advertising with Farm Bureau. They checkered Neyland under Butch, and it culminates
in 4-8,
in losing to Vanderbilt 3 out of 5 years.
And I'm going to go with Tennessee football because of this. Both of these teams did not end the year with the same coach they started with. We already talked about how funny it is that this Grizzlies team, that a tanking basketball team, ends the season with J.B. Bickerstaff. But that's also not the first time an NBA team has done this. This is the first time a really bad college football team had Brady Hoke replace their coach and end the season. And that is why I'm going to stick with Tennessee. The 4 moves on.
And we go to the 3 versus the 6. 2018-2019. Vanderbilt basketball led by Darius Garland, Simi Shitu, Aaron Nesmith, Bryce Drew. Man, the potential there.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the gym. Versus 2014-2015, Donnie Tindall. Granted, that team wasn't even bad, but Donnie Tindall, 1 year, I just kind of encapsulate all of that in the one season of Donnie Tindall.
Donnie Tindall, yep. That
and I just think about him and I giggle.
It's the name alone is enough to make me laugh. However, there were some gems on that Tennessee team that were just unused. Tariq Owens, just not developed yet. The guy was still very, very skinny, but was definitely a lot skinnier his freshman year. Not very polished, but turned out to be a key contributor on a Final Four team, a team that was a national runner-up. Josh Richardson, a solid career in the NBA. Armani Moore, a decent scorer in college. Kevin Punter, a great scorer in college that very next season when Rick Barnes took over in Rick Barnes' first year. Kevin Punter was not a name to scoff at. I actually think Kevin Punter is one of the more underrated players in the past 2 decades of Tennessee basketball. This Vanderbilt team had 2 McDonald's All-Americans.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
One got hurt, one quit, mentally checked out, and his draft stock tanked harder than the Memphis Grizzlies did in 2017-2018. And it turns out the best player of all of those guys was going to be Aaron Nesmith. And he kind of had to carry the load. Him and Saban Lee had to carry the load on a really bad team that not only just quit, but also had a guy like Yanni Wetzel, who was criminally underutilized, end up leading San Diego State to an almost undefeated regular season, and they would have been a one seed in this year's NCAA tournament had it happened. I'm going to lean Vanderbilt here.
Then we'll go with Vanderbilt. Then we have another Vanderbilt matchup. Vanderbilt of 2014, the team that lost to Temple. Derek Mason's first season as a head coach against last year's MTSU basketball team. I think this one's, looking at it, probably the easiest decision on the board.
Really?
You know, I think because MTSU, yes, they were not good, but they also weren't awful. They weren't an SEC team. They weren't an SEC team starting four quarterbacks named Wade Freebeck, Johnny McCrary, Steven Rivers, and I think Patton Robinette that year.
Yeah, I think Patton Robinette did get some
starts. Was because that was before he got hurt. Still, three of those names, no.
This one's close to me. It's really, really close just because
Temple. They took Old Dominion to the wire. I remember watching them play Old Dominion that year. They won that game because of Johnny McCrary.
Have you even heard of Mars Hill?
No.
No. Oh, man. Ooh. The four quarterback thing is hilarious.
Also, two of those quarterbacks didn't complete 50% of their passes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll have to go 2014. We can't knock out the one and two seeds.
Yeah,
in this tournament.
That's pandemonium here.
Yeah, that's...
We like some order.
Anarchy. Yeah.
So we go to the top of the bracket. Now, Austin Peay, after they upset the 2014 Titans against the Vols, I got Butch going all the way. I think the disappointment Butch brought upon Knoxville after Derek Dooley levels of disappointment, that's like the stock market in March of 2020.
Close. Yeah, that is really close. And one guy who was coaching Austin Peay, Will Healy,
Dang good coach.
Ended up turning that around very quickly.
And Jeremy Pruitt hadn't turned that around
yet.
And
this Tennessee team was actually still really talented and just blew it. And then Brady Hoke, man. I mean, what else do you want from me? Brady Hoke, the name speaks for itself. I think I can lean on this Tennessee team. Taking the cake there.
All right, so then we have a matchup of the Vanderbilts. Vanderbilt Commodores basketball from last season, 2014 Vanderbilt football. I'll let you pick this one because it's a toss-up for me. I'm 50-50.
I'm going basketball.
You're going basketball.
I'm going winless in the SEC on a team that was incredibly talented, at two McDonald's All-Americans. One getting hurt, so it's a situation that's out of your control, but the other one quit. And I think that's where I'm at with this one. I think the untapped potential in the season that was supposed to be beats out a Vanderbilt team that wasn't supposed to be really good. They were just hilariously dysfunctional.
So then that brings us to the championship. Drum roll.
Yes, all right.
Butch versus
Bryce. Oh, man. Oh, this is excellent.
So basically, we're talking about two teams who got a lot of hype. Butch Jones' hype went sky high for a couple years, and you were just waiting for it to bust through the roof and for him to meet Nick Saban, versus Bryce Drew, who's, I feel like, happened quicker, bringing in the recruits he did in a shorter time span. And it also, which one fell quicker?
Oh, man.
Which hype train that led to all this buildup in these seasons?
It took a year, because if you think about it, the year before that garbage, horrendous season, Bryce Drew took Vanderbilt to an NCAA tournament. They were an 8 seed and played Northwestern. And, of course, that loss is one of the all-time head scratchers.
Matthew Fisher-Davis.
Yeah. A guy who was easily their best player.
Dude, he was wet.
and could play. Matthew Fisher-Davis could play. But that team was nowhere near as talented as what that Vanderbilt team had just in the three players that were coming in. Butch Jones, on the other hand, had... Butch Jones, on the other hand,
he developed years of good recruiting.
Years of good recruiting, a preseason top 10 ranking.
Oh.
They almost, I think they, if they didn't, they almost crept into the top five that year at one point.
They were like 4, 5, 6, something in that range.
And then the next year having the season that got them canned.
So let's go back to this 2017 season, because they start off the year, they beat Georgia Tech in overtime, I believe, 42-41. My Yellow Jackets, Ramblin' Rex from Georgia Tech. Then they beat Indiana State 42-7. Then they go down to Florida 26-20. Tough one. Tough game for the Vols. Then the next week, they go back up to Knoxville and play UMass. Scrape by 17-13. And then
17-13 at UMass.
And then the Georgia Bulldogs come to town. And this is when you learn that Knoxville is not going to return to 1998 anytime soon, probably. When the Georgia Bulldogs, 7-ranked, beat the Vols down 41-0. From that point, that season, they lose to South Carolina 15-9, Alabama 45-7. They lose to Kentucky 29-26. They beat Southern Miss 24-10. They lose to Missouri 50-17. They lose to LSU 30-10. And then the final straw.
Oh, man.
Derek Mason, the Vanderbilt Commodores, led by Kyle Shermer, flipped the Vols score on them and beat them 42-24 in Nashville.
Yep.
In Knoxville.
In Knoxville, yeah.
That game happened in Neyland, in Knoxville.
The game wasn't that close.
And I think after reading that, Butch Jones and the 2017 Tennessee Volunteers take the cake.
And this is where I'm taking Vanderbilt. So now we're going to lead to our main man behind the glass, Captain Kurt. Who is? It's in your hands now. You are a man with a lot of power right now.
And if you pick against me, I'm going to fight Elijah, okay? Yeah, my hands are in fists.
We are going to come to blows. But Captain Kurt, who is the worst team in the state of Tennessee this past decade?
Vanderbilt.
That's right. I have talked Captain Kurt into taking Vanderbilt. So let's get a round of applause for the Vanderbilt Commodores of 2018-2019 for being the worst sports team in the state of Tennessee in this past decade. Man, what a ride. Underachievement. It had it all. Dysfunction, underachievement, quitting, losing at home to teams like Arkansas. They didn't make the NCAA tournament by almost 40 points on your last home game.
Calvin, you think there's any doubt here?
Captain
Kurt says it's not even close.
Wow, the disappointment on Rocky Top, unprecedented to me.
I think Captain Kurt was lured in with the winless. He had 18 chances to win one game.
That is true. I mean, I'm not denying that Vanderbilt team was bad. And, you know, I hate to do it to Bryce Drew, friend of show. We've had him on a guest. Great guy. We both believe he's a good coach, too.
And I think he's gonna have a successful tenure at Grand Canyon, assuming we ever play sports again.
Yes.
But he did get hired at Grand Canyon, a place that is basketball crazy, a new program in Division I, who has not been terrible these last couple of years. I like that fit for him. I think Bryce Drew will get on his feet.
But, Butch Jones, you're talking about Tennessee football in this state, cream of the crop, the premier product every Saturday in the fall. They're such a big deal. They still get games at 2:30 on CBS.
Yeah.
I can relate to that. I went to the University of Nebraska.
The Tennessee disappointment hits home with Cat and Kurt a little differently than it would have.
Yes. All right, we are up against the break here. We're way over. We have one final short segment coming up after the break. This is Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Do you smell it? That smell. The kind of smelly smell. The smelly smell that smells. Smelly.
We end every show with what we smell here on Calvin and Campbell. But first, I think we've had a fun show here today. What you smell
Very
is what you
so.
See coming up. But let's take a minute to reflect, because we did this bracket in the midst of no sports in an ever quickly changing world. I think we had a good show today, Elijah.
This is one of my favorite ones. I am weird, and I like to talk about bad sports as much as I do good sports. There is something relatable about failure, because we all experience failure at some points in our lives. And then, like we discussed in some of our stories that we shared earlier about our baseball playing days, whether it's getting, being that guy that got Colton Wonged and picked off at first to lose a game, or you blow an 8-run lead, or you go 0-11 and lose to teams like Tennessee Tech 41-7, or you just completely underachieve and go 0-18 in the SEC. There's something relatable about being really bad, because it happens to all of us at least once. No one lives life undefeated, and there's something fun and something relatable about getting to make fun of ourselves as sports people, and as a society as well.
And we embrace that here on Calvin and Campbell. And now, sadly, the next note we're about to take is we're going to tell you what we smell. And we live in a world that is changing very quickly by the day. We learn new things about the coronavirus and COVID-19 every day. It is very well documented the effect that this virus is having on the community and the economy. Therefore, Calvin and Campbell will indefinitely not be airing on Saturday mornings going forward due to, yes,
yeah.
Tears.
It's okay, Captain Kurt. It's okay, man. That's Captain Kurt crying. It's not me this time. We're getting close to it. This is very
crying. This is such a funny cry.
It's very realistic.
As you cry, thank you. If you started your Saturday mornings with us here on Calvin and Campbell, we thank you for starting every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. with us. Coronavirus, we hate it, but the best thing we can do to get the show back on the air, to get the economy back on track, to save lives, to help the people of the world, is to social distance and wash your hands. And that is the message we want to deliver today. So as Calvin and Campbell signs off for hopefully not the last time, as everything changes very quickly, we want to thank you for starting your Saturday mornings with us here. When we would take you to Calvin and Campbell, attorneys at law, we would tell you what we smell. We would say something with Christopher Russo's beautiful voice.
Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
For Elijah Campbell, for Captain Kurt, I am Calvin Smith. We thank you for a few months of really good fun, and we hope to talk to you again in the future. If you want to keep up with us, find us on Twitter, at SmithAKalvin, at E_Campbell3.
And remember, it's not goodbye, it's see you later.
We will talk to you later.